During this week's testimony, U.S. Ambassador Ryan Crocker said as diplomatically as possible what critics of the war have said more bluntly. They think Iraq's government has accomplished less than it should.
I do believe that Iraq's leaders have the will to tackle the country's pressing problems, although it will take longer than we originally anticipated because of the environment and the gravity of the issues before them.
That's how Ambassador Crocker put it. Iraq's ambassador to this country is Samir Soumaydi, and he's in our studios. Welcome to the program once again.
Thank you.
General Petraeus also said in the last few days that he thought the effort to build a stable government hasn't worked out as hoped. Are these leaders right?
Well, up to a point, but there are reasons for this. The Iraqi government is operating under extreme conditions. Some people would say impossible conditions. They have government institutions which had collapsed at the end of Saddam's regime, and they had to bring them right from the ground up again. That takes time. We live in a period of violence and tensions. The Iraqi government is making progress, but not perhaps as fast as you would expect a normal government to.
The reasons that you give, Ambassador, would seem to be the same reasons that some Americans would say there should be progress. They will argue that because of the motivation of this violence, you would think that the Iraqi government would be pulling itself together a little more rapidly, passing an oil law, figuring out the distribution of power, doing the things they have to do to confront the threat.
Absolutely. The motivation is there, but the instruments are not there. The environment is not there, but it's getting to be there. On the passing of the legislations, we are making progress on agreeing the principles, and these things take some time.
Let me ask about something cited as progress by General Petraeus, among others. He's talking about what has been happening in the western part of the country in Anbar province, which is Sunni-dominated and had been extraordinarily violent until recent months.
A year ago, the province was assessed as lost politically. Today, it is a model of what happens when local leaders and citizens decide to oppose al-Qaeda and reject its Taliban-like ideology.
So, Ambassador, what the U.S. tried here was working more closely with local tribal leaders, Sunni tribal leaders, and they think it works. Is that a model for other parts of the country?
I was in Al-Anbar about 2 weeks ago, and this is a community-led revolution, if you like. It was the communities rising up against al-Qaeda and saying, we've had enough. At that point, the Americans were ready to come alongside and support them, and later the central government, of course, embraced this by admitting many of these people, most of them in fact, into the police force, so they become within the structure of government. Now we've got to build on it and extend it into the other areas.
Well, let me ask about the meaning of that. You had local leaders who clearly seemed to hold the balance of power there. They could make life intolerable, and they did. They could make life better, and they did. And in either case, the central government was only really able to come in after the fact. Is this a danger to the central government in Iraq?
It's not a danger to the central government. The government in Baghdad had its hands full. Before the surge, there were not enough troops on the American side, not enough competent and capable troops on the Iraqi side to hold the peace throughout Iraq.
Is there danger then that in each individual neighborhood, whoever's got the biggest militia will be the group that provides security and ends up with the power, whether it's Sunnis in the west, whether it's Shiites in the south, whether it's Kurds, which has already effectively happened in the north?
Well, Iraqi constitution is clear. Militias are not allowed. This is a transitional situation. It cannot be allowed to be permanent.
Is it happening even though you don't want to accept it?
Well, it has happened. There are militias in Iraq, but it's one of the problems that we have to address. The government ultimately has to bring the militias to an end.
One other thing, Ambassador, you suggested that things may not be happening quickly enough for people in Washington. Is your government trying to lay out realistic plans for what happens if the United States does withdraw a substantial portion of troops more rapidly than you would hope?
The United States might have a choice whether to stay or to leave. The Iraqi people don't have that choice. If the withdrawal is linked not so much to the imperatives of politics in Washington, but to the reality on the ground in Iraq, then we can move forward and the result will be positive for the United States and Iraq. If local conditions are ignored and there is a rush for the exit, situation in Iraq can deteriorate. We could be in a tailspin, which would reflect extremely negatively on the interests of the United States in Iraq. And, of course, it would be detrimental for Iraq.
Ambassador Samir Soumaydi, thanks very much.
Thank you.
He's the Iraqi ambassador to the United States.